We also ask for forgiveness, Lord, for we know that we hurt you. We hurt others. When we hurt others, we hurt you. And we also know that we've been hurt at times, and forgiveness is an important part of our Christian walk. So we ask you to forgive us for these things, and we ask that you will give us the grace to forgive people who have hurt us in these areas. Yes, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation. And Lord, deliver us from the power of the evil one, the schemes of the evil one, the lies of the evil one, the attacks of the evil one. We pray this with great confidence, knowing that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, knowing that your power, your glory are now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray for the reading of God's word in Genesis. Father, we thank you for your word, which is a gift to us, and it's not just words in any book. It's your book, inspired by you, written by many people that you called to write this book, always inspired, led by your spirit. So we pray that those things that you want us to understand and see and appropriate will become a reality. And we pray that you will give us grace to walk in the truth that we receive today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The reading today is Genesis 4, 1 through 18. It'll be found on page 6 in the Pew Bible. Adam lay with his wife Eve and became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were there, in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehuhael, and Mehuhael was father of Methusael, and Methusael was the father of Lamech. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Darla. So, you know, when I ask people, sometimes especially my pagan friends ask me, what are you preaching on this week, Pastor? And I say, the first kids. And they say, oh, Adam and Eve. Like, nope, they were never kids. They were adults. They never knew what it was to be born, to be a toddler or a teenager. They were just adults. And then they got married. God married them. So the first kids are Cain and Abel, right? Adam and Eve were never kids. So the first kids on planet Earth were Cain and Abel. Last week we looked at the devastation that resulted from the choice that their parents made. Remember, we talked about that. The fact that the choice was, the devil told him, you don't have to put up with trusting what God says is wrong or right. You can figure that out for yourself. Trust in yourself. Trust. Put your trust in yourself. You don't need God. God is hiding something from you. You need to be smart and determine on your own what is good and what is wrong. You can do this. If you eat this fruit, you'll be able to do that. And so Eve said, you know what? That sounds pretty attractive. And the husband, who had no spine next to her, said, okay. You know, she gave him some and he ate it. And the entire humanity fell into sin because of that. And the sin is, I can do this without God. Or I can have a little bit of God. Or I can do this for God. But it's always, the sin is independence from God. Everything else springs from that sin. So we looked at that devastating choice that they made. Adam and Eve and the serpent were all disciplined by God. And we can read about that. I didn't go into that, but we all know the consequences. They were all disciplined by God. They each received the consequences of their choice. And that was just the beginning of it. Beginning of discipline, beginning of pain. Our whole world has been in chaos ever since. It's time, Lord Jesus, that you come and make every wrong right. In this passage, we see how sin continued to devastate everything along its path, everything in its path. Sin continued to destroy it. Think about that. What is it that causes children to be without a father or a mother? Sin. What is it that bring divorce about? Sin. What is it that brings people, you know, poor people? Many times it's greedy people who think their money they have is all theirs and they're not to share it, not to be generous. Other times it's their own choices of laziness and whatnot. But it's not just one choice. Could be laziness. It could be that others who have a lot do not share. What is it that causes wars in this world? Sin. Everything. It's like just a party of devastation and chaos. Even today, we are seeing the devastating consequences of sin in our lives, in our churches. I mean, we see it in our churches and in our communities. It's everywhere. After Adam and Eve were disciplined and kicked out of the garden, remember, they had a son. Cain was the firstborn. And then they had Abel. Verse 2 tells us that Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. They each had their own niche. So one took care of the flocks and the other one took care of the soil. And there they were with mom and dad in a beautiful land. Sounds like a happy family, doesn't it? But it wasn't. It was not to be so. Why? Because of sin. It was not to be so. Because of the presence of sin. The passage tells us that both sons brought an offering to God. And God looked with favor upon the little brother's offering. But God was not pleased with Cain's offering. Why not? What's the problem here? They both brought an offering, right? One brought the product of the field. The other one brought a flock, animals. They were both offerings. So what's the problem here? Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. Pay attention, because this refers to us. It relates to us. All the Bible relates to us. And it's up to a pastor to make sure that they find a connection to the lives of his people. Verses 3 and 5 says that Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil. That's it. Now listen. He brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Now listen to Abel's. Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. What? The fat portions are the best. The firstborn of his flock is the best. Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil. The Lord looked, the Bible says, with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. You may think, well, God is a stickler. What's the problem here? What's going on here? Let's think about this for a minute. Cain, my brothers and sisters, gave God the minimum. Abel gave fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. He gave the best he had, the very best. Abel offered the very best of the very best he had. Cain offered whatever he could grab. Here. That's for the Lord. I'll never forget. It reminds me of a time when one of my little nieces had a bowl full of fries. And her uncle said, Leah, share some of your fries with me. And she grabbed one that had fallen off the plate and she went, here. A little girl to do that is funny, but a young man to bring to the Lord his leftovers is not funny. God did not find that funny at all. Abel offered the very best of the best he had. Cain offered whatever he could grab. And he expected God to be happy with it. He gave the minimum, whatever he could grab. Cain gave what he could find. Abel gave sacrificially the most valuable and precious he had. Which offering do you think God deserved? The one from Cain or the one from Abel? Why would God expect that we give him our best? Because he gave his best. That's why. He gave the very best he had, which is Jesus. So of course he expects that we give our best, because he gives our best, his best. He always gives us his very, very best. Why do you think Jesus talks about giving so much? And it's not just giving money, which of course is part of it, but it's about giving of our love, our time, our service. God looked with displeasure upon Cain's offering, not because crops were of less value than livestock, but because Cain kept for himself the best of the crops, the best of the harvest, and he gave God his leftovers. That's convicting to me. You know why? Because there are times when I'm tempted not to give 10% of my tithes. Because I need it. But then I think, does God deserve my leftovers? Or does he deserve my best? And I write that check and I ask God for forgiveness for that little bit of hesitation that I had. Because even though I'm not perfect and I still sin, I have always, always sought to give God the very best I have. Because that's what he deserves. God's reaction to his offering did not sit well with Cain at all. He didn't like it. God should have been happy with my leftovers. What's the matter with God? Something like that was going on because he was unhappy. So he went to the field and killed his brother. He did not deal with the root of his issue, did he? There's that sin. He did it his own way. Same sin that was passed on to him from his parents eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which in essence is, I'll do it my way. He did not deal with the root of the issue. He was so angry, and instead of repenting and seeking God's mercy, he killed his brother. I'll take care of this. He killed his brother. And when God confronted him, he was sassy. What, am I my brother's keeper? I mean, you got to be kidding me. I can't believe God didn't strike him dead at that point. He didn't, but he did discipline him. Because of what he did, his choice, Cain suffered much. He was banned from God's presence. Again, someone else is being banned from God's presence. What happened to Adam and Eve? You're not staying in the garden. If you read the passage, they were two flaming swords going back and forth. They could not be allowed back. They were kicked out from the presence of God. And so was Cain. He was banned from God's presence. And this is what he says to God when he finds out. Today you're driving me from the land and I will be hidden from your presence. As if he cared. But I guess in that moment he thought of it. I will be driven from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain. No one knows what that mark is, by the way. So that no one who found him would kill him. He needed to be disciplined. No one who saw him would kill him because he had a mark. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of the garden. You know where the land of Nod is today? Africa. So he was kicked away from Eden. Listen up. Sin is what made Adam and Eve reject God's wisdom and authority. Sin is what made them be kicked out of the garden. And sin is what made Cain kill his brother. He thought God should be okay. I don't have to give God my best. God demands the best because he gives the best. But Cain didn't think much of it. I'll do it my way. This is good enough. all these people chose to ignore God's wisdom, God's authority, and they did things their way. And they justified it. They justified their sin. I remember church where, when my ex-husband and I were pastoring a church, he was the associate pastor of this big, big church, and one of the members of the church was a millionaire. And he thought, I'm not going to give 10% of my income because it's too much for the church. And who knows what they're going to do with it. And maybe no one else will give because they know I'm giving the 10%. So I'm going to give what I think I should give. How did he know that if he gave the full 10%, which most of us pastors believe is still required from us today by God, because that's the best that God speaks of as far as income, including other things, talents, time. But how did he know that had he given all that, 5 or 10 missionaries would have been able to go overseas and do mission work? How did he know how that money would have been used? He kept the best for himself, and he gave God his leftovers. Only God knows how he's going to deal with him. But this is what Cain models here. All these people gave the minimum and expected God to be happy with it. They refused to honor God. They chose to go their own way and do things their own way. They did not fear God, and they did not listen to his wisdom. Like his parents, he suffered the consequences. Cain was sent away from God's presence, away from the good land God had given. There, they were separated from God, from that closeness. God was still taking care of them. But you know what? I don't want to see God from afar. I want God close. So, so close. That is what people are looking for in illicit sex, in money, in other things, you know, power. They're looking for that thing that brings peace and joy and contentment. That's God. That's a closeness. To be close to God is the only way to really experience that. And when things are right with God in our finances, in our time, in our entertainment, you know, when we don't have things where we say, in this area, I'm going to do it my way, we're at peace with God. That's what peace is. Everything, shalom, let me tell you the word shalom in Hebrew, many people translate it as peace. But it means this and this area and this area and this area, everything is balanced under God. Shalom is everything that I have, that I own, that I do is in right relationship with God. So the temptation is the same temptation that Adam and Eve had, gave into. I'm going to do this way, but in this way, I'm going to do it this way. Right? And that's why people think that illicit sex before marriage is okay today. Because they go to church, they give their tithes, they give their offerings, but in this area, I'm going to do it my way. We're too old, we're not going to get married. Tell God that and see what he says back. Or tell God that you're giving him the minimum and that he's supposed to be happy with that, content. God sees everything, and God knows his value. Do we value him in the same way that we know God deserves to be valued? Knowing is one thing. Walking out that knowing, doing it, is a totally different thing. These people refused to honor God. Cain refused to honor God. He chose to go his own way. He did not fear God, and he did not listen to his wisdom. Like his parents, Cain was sent away from God's presence, away from the good land God had given him, and separated from the goodness of God. So what can we learn from these events? It was not necessary for Cain to suffer all that he suffered. Sometimes we bring suffering upon ourselves because of the choices that we make. God will still be with us, but if we do it God's way, we will suffer less. There's still sin. We still sin, you know, but if this blatant sin of I'm going to do it my way is devastating to any life. So what can we learn from these events that happened between Cain and Abel? Let me ask you this again, and I'll just end with these thoughts. Again, did God and Jesus give you and me his best? Yes. What about you? Are you giving him your best? What about me? Am I giving him my best? Do we give our best to God? Or do we give him the minimum and call it good? How about we talk to God about that right now and try to make some wrongs right? Let's pray. Talk to God for a minute and then I'll close in prayer. Maybe some of us need to confess. Maybe some of us need to make a new commitment to God. Do it right now when he's waiting to hear from you. Maybe some areas are balanced, but other areas we have control of them and we're doing things our way. Father, we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that you gave us the very, very best you had. Help us to do the same back to you. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name.